Individuality includes all humanity. On page 465 of Science and Health, the textbook of Christian Science, chapter 14, entitled Recapitulation, which is a summary of chapters 1 through 13, in question and answer format. Mary Baker Eddy, throughout Science and Health, includes terms to define God and even gives specific definitions, but each one is a little different for specific reasons. The definition on 465 is exactly in accordance with the order of the days of creation as enumerated in the first chapter of Genesis of the King James Version of the Bible. The definition of God from 465 is as follows. Question: What is God? Answer: God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The title to this recording is Individuality Includes All Humanity. God is infinite individuality. Since God is infinite, every quality of God is infinite. It covers all humanity. It covers all reality. It covers all existence. Individuality is defined as a quality of God by Mary Baker Eddy, and she states that God is infinite individuality. There are 18 different references within the same paragraph which include the word infinite and individuality. On page 281, in referring to infinite individuality, she states, "The one ego, the one mind or spirit called God, is infinite individuality, which supplies all form and comeliness, and which reflects reality and divinity in individual spiritual man and things. If one desires to pray for all humanity, certainly that paragraph would be very apropos in delving into exactly what she means about infinite individuality. She says it reflects reality and divinity in individual spiritual man and things. She refers to God as the one ego. Ego is capitalized. The one mind or spirit called God. And as just stated, she said it supplies all form. So there is no form whatsoever that is not reflecting infinite individuality. We may have to dig below what appears to be a surface that is different, but the reality of spiritual man is there if we're talking about an individual. And of course, man is generic. It does not refer to male or female, but the completeness, which means that all qualities that might be attributed otherwise to male or female are all combined in the term man. Spiritual man is the only real man, because she says that we're talking about reality. Infinite individuality reflects reality and divinity in individual man and things. So, things are included. Things? Boy, that's a broad term. This is a great paragraph to work with. Also, in relation to what was stated in a prior treatment, in referring to how one could progress most rapidly in Christian Science, and it was suggested that one should record their own thoughts about their understanding about what they are reading. So, for example, you could take this particular paragraph, which is stated in Science and Health 281, and one could read it as is in the text, and then one could explain what they believe that it means. And a further step would be to restate the entire paragraph in one's own words. Mary Baker Eddy herself said, "Follow me only as far as I follow the Christ." Well, the same with yourself. If you're going to record this and put it in your own words, use your highest understanding to be following the Christ consciousness. In remembering that the concept, even though false, of evil tries to mock truth and tries to deceive by doing something as close to truth as it can, we must be carefully alert to any suggestion that comes to us to make sure that it is a spiritual thought and not error that is trying to mock what is true. One could take any single topic that seems to be a universal belief. And remember, material existence is a universal belief. It's a universal belief that everyone was born from the womb of a woman. And not only that, but was born a sinner. So one thought that one could use about praying for humanity could be that the only birth that exists for all humanity, for every individual, is a process of awakening as one throws off the veil, penetrates the veil of materiality in seeking the truth, which is spirit, as our only substance. And as probably everyone has heard, one on God's side is a majority. So we can confirm that everyone in existence is on God's side because God is the only creator. One of the 26 topics that Mary Baker Eddy chose for Christian Scientists to study twice a year is exactly that: God, the only cause and creator. And one could easily support the idea that everyone is perfect because God is spirit, and spirit is the only substance, and spirit is flawless. So flawless that it is transparent, completely transparent, and therefore completely reflective, and therefore is being reflected out into the universal thought continuously. And that purifies, dissolves, and supersedes anything else that appears to be substance. Probably everyone is familiar with the phrase that God is all in all. The first all means cause. The second all means manifestation. So God, being the cause, is the substance of all manifestation. God is the substance of all of its own manifestation. And the manifestation of God is the only manifestation that exists. Just as God is the only cause and creator, the creation can only be composed of the substance of God, which is spirit. So, mortal mind cannot be effective in its effort to mock the spiritual reality that God is the only cause and creator. And anyone who is praying for all humanity can make a dent in the veil that tries to profess the opposite. The antithesis of God is unreal, because there is no competition or opposition to the one and only infinite mind. And mind is the quality of God that represents all cause. Creative ability is one of the qualities of mind. As we reflect mind, the one and only infinite mind, then we can individually express the creative ability of that mind. We can reflect the full amount that we are willing to do, which means how much of a mortal viewpoint are we willing to cast aside. It would be like a fisherman that is fishing for a certain kind of fish or a certain size of fish. Anything that doesn't fit the description of the purpose of that fishing trip is thrown back, returned to the original habitat, whether it's a mountain stream, a lake, the ocean, wherever it is. If we are fishing for truth, first of all, we need to be looking in the waters of spirit. The source must be spiritual. The nature must be absolute, not relative. Even though we are praying for all humanity in this particular instance, which is the purpose of this recording, we do not want to think about a human level. And if our purpose is to bless all humanity, then our thought will touch on all humanity without us saying a single word about all humanity. In Mr. Rawson's book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, he suggests one way to pray is to immediately dismiss the reality of whatever is appearing to be the problem. And a very simple statement: there is no, and then whatever the problem appears to be. We must keep in mind that what the problem appears to be may not be related at all to the real problem. If one is on the way to an important meeting where significant factors are determined to be decided upon and the mode of transportation is delayed or even eliminated, such as plane flights being canceled, that could very well be an attack on the meeting, trying to prevent the meeting from taking place, when in fact it appears to be a problem with transportation. So first of all, one must try to discover what the symptom is pointing to, and not just something that might be commonly accepted as what is related to the symptom. As Dr. Einstein stated, one cannot solve a problem if one is working on the same level as where the problem appeared. So always be seeking the bigger picture, just as the professor who put a white sheet with a little black dot in the center, hung it up in the major viewing area in his class and asked the students, what do they see? The object of this was to get them to always seek the larger picture and not be focusing on what appears to be the little problem. If one appears to be facing a problem, think about the possibility that this is stemming from a universal belief. The belief of material life, substance, and intelligence in matter is a universal belief. It's not that we are having trouble with one little perceived piece of matter or what is thought to be matter, such as a part of one's body that may not be functioning properly or was injured or involved in an accident. But we must look at the larger picture. And of course, in that particular case, one could be thinking about what God is, and that we are an individual manifestation of God. Just as the first part of this recording stated, that God is infinite individuality. So no matter who is involved or what is involved, it is all within the infinite. Mary Baker Eddy states that infinite progression is concrete being. So we need to be making infinite progress. We need to be pursuing progress that is along the line of truth, always working toward a better understanding of the big picture, the infinite. On that same page that was quoted in the early part of this treatment, which is page 281 of Science and Health, paragraph title is The True New Idea. It states, divine science does not put new wine into old bottles, soul into matter, nor the infinite into the finite. Our false views of matter perish as we grasp the facts of spirit. The old belief must be cast out, or the new idea will be spilled, and the inspiration, which is to change our standpoint, will be lost. Now, as of old, truth casts out evils and heals the sick. And what is the sick? The sick is anything that is unlike God. It doesn't have to be a disease that has a label. Any discord whatsoever is a manifestation of a form of sickness. There was a treatment that was added to the website not long ago, stated that we should treat everything that is discord, and the smaller, the more important. Because when it is first brought to our attention, no matter what the source is, whether it's something we see, feel, taste, smell, just a thought that comes to us, if it is including any kind of discord whatsoever, anything unlike God, that is the time to take care of it. Because if we ignore it, it will grow. If we're passive about it in any way, it will grow. And as it grows, it will be more and more difficult to cure. Because we have already let part of it be a seed in our consciousness. Therefore, we have to dig deeper and deeper to get the entire root exposed so that we can eradicate it. Whereas if we address it at the onset of recognition that it is unlike God, then it is still on the surface and we can eradicate it more easily at that time. Mary Baker Eddy states that all humanity is under the belief of the compounding of lie upon lie. In other words, the entire belief of life, truth, and intelligence is in matter has been promulgated over the entire history of mankind, starting out with the false belief of the Adam dream, which is Genesis 2. And we must root that entire belief out of thought. And that, of course, is a very important part of our praying for all humanity. And we must replace that with the true record of creation, which is Genesis chapter 1. And we also must remember that Genesis chapter 1, in every important statement, and there's seven major categories there of the same thoughts that describe God, which is the mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And in each case, when it talks about one of those seven, it is saying that we must let light come forth. We must let there be a separation. So each of the seven themes requires our participation in order for it to be a part of our individual experience. It's there, it's truth, it's fact, but it's not going to help us unless we let it be our experience. We have to be willing to peck open the shell like the little chick that's inside that has to get out there and get into reality instead of being cooped up into a shell. The term thinking outside the box is exactly what we're talking about. Don't be confined in your perimeter. Remember, infinite progression is concrete being. There's nothing that is confining in the word infinite. We must be thinking about each of the seven primary qualities of God when we're praying for humanity. And again, what is praying? Praying is getting our consciousness, our thoughts, in alignment with truth. It's not asking God for anything. It's not asking someone else for something. It's not expecting an event to solve the problem for us. God gives us the chalk. God gives us the blackboard. God gives us the tools. We must work out the solution, utilizing those elements. Mathematics provides the four operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. But does it stand up there at the blackboard and move the chalk? Of course, now we don't use blackboards and chalk very often, but we commonly use a computer or a cell phone as a computer. This concept of artificial intelligence is a fraud. It's a fraud on God. The very word artificial should be giving us a clue. Artificial intelligence cannot produce intelligence. Intelligence is already in existence. And why would we want to be artificial? We need to look at the truth. What is the real source of truth? What is the real source of intelligence, of wisdom, of knowing, of capacity, capability, functionality, substance? How about what is the real source of spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling? If spirit is the only substance, which it is, then the only kind of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling we want to be doing is of a spiritual nature. In other words, we need to always be looking for spirit and not matter. We always need to be looking for perfection, not just facing what stares us in the face. We need to be looking under the surface for the real source. The same with principle. Are we letting the fact that principle is all harmonious? Principle is the core of all the other qualities. We just completed a page on principle on the website. And in there are listed many different definitions which include the term principle from the textbook. And we listed all those to prove to this earnest seeker of truth that principle is the core. Mary Baker Eddy refers to principle hundreds of times. It is recommended that one study that page that is on principle. It is a real eye-opener about just where is principle in the realm of all existence. What does Mary Baker Eddy attribute to principle? And yet the word principle is not even used in the Bible. But yet it is the core of all existence. That's one of the many reasons why Mary Baker Eddy states that an earnest student of Christian Science should become a Bible scholar. And we have some really wonderful resources to enable you to do just that. That doesn't mean that you need to learn the Hebrew language or Aramaic, because today's age provides the conveniences of letting resources from those who are experts in the language give us some clues as to what we should be thinking about when we read a particular word or a phrase that was written in one of those languages, so that we can get the proper English interpretation and therefore relate it to the works of Mary Baker Eddy and other fine authors or scribes or compilers. For the real author of anything that is spiritual will not try to take credit for it, but only attest to the truth that they have discovered, which has always been true. Mary Baker Eddy describes herself as being a scribe under orders. Mr. Rawson indicates that what he has proposed in the book Treatment or Healing by True Prayer is a result of treatment, self-treatment, where he was yielding to truth, trying to reveal to his own consciousness what is in that book from beginning to end. The kingdom of God is within. All we have to do is peel back the onion and look at the fresh layer. As noted a little bit earlier in this recording, principle is an extremely valuable synonymous term for God that one should research and get a better understanding thereof. Helen Wright's book that is entitled Your Divinity Revealed is an absolutely excellent resource for studying all of the seven synonymous terms. There are seven chapters in that book, beginning with chapter 4, and they are in the order of the days of creation, which was brought out previously about being stated in Genesis chapter 1. And chapter 4 is on mind, chapter 5 is on spirit, chapter 6 is on soul, and so forth, ending in chapter 10 being on love. The same exact order that is stated in the definition of God on page 465, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. When we're praying for humanity, we certainly want to include life as a principle synonymous term to study. The life of all mankind is under and included in life, because that's the only life there is. So if we study about life, we are going to be affecting all mankind if we open our thought to that as our desire. We want to shower the atmosphere that is affecting all humanity with the truth that is stated in Mary Baker Eddy's writings and the writings of other advanced Christian Scientists. Life represents multiplication. It represents eternality. No end, no beginning. There was no birth that brought forth life. Birth is only a recognition of an unfoldment that is taking place within one's own consciousness. That's what we treat. We don't treat an ailment. We treat one's own thought. Life represents vivacious activity of truth in action. One could never get tired if one is focusing on life. Tiredness represents absence of life. It represents giving up, giving in, weakening, diluting, stopping, or even reversing the forward progress. Life represents fatherhood, in other words, the source. Not a human source, but the spiritual source, which means God. The source of every idea is God. Mind, infinite mind. Also, we must realize that all of these terms for God are working together in one grand network. Just like the sequoia trees, the giant redwood sequoia trees in the northwest part of California. And I know there are some elsewhere. For starters, you can buy redwood seeds and plant them. I made an acquaintance with someone who had planted one, and we were talking under this beautiful big redwood tree. And I said, I didn't have any idea that redwoods grew in this area. And he said, well, they do now because I planted this seed. He told me how many years ago it was, And wow, it was wonderful. It was doing just fantastic. It did not have the advantage of being in a grove of redwood trees, because the network I was referring to a moment ago is that the roots, even though shallow, under the surface of the, you know, of the dirt that we walk on, all of the roots in a particular stand of trees bond together. And that makes them really strong, because they're representing unity, where each one supports the other. We need to think about us being a part of all humanity, because we are all brethren. And of course, the real way to think about all humanity is to think about all divinity. In other words, raise the thought level above the dimension that we start out thinking of. I started to say that the way that Mr. Rawson recommends as one way to think about praying is to making a short denial that whatever the ailment appears to be is true by just saying there is no, and then name the ailment, and then jump right into what is God and heaven all about. In other words, focus on perfection. And that's what our primary focus needs to be once we deny whatever the ailment appears to be. And maybe what it doesn't appear to be, but is. In other words, the larger picture that was referred to. The white sheet, not just the little black speck. So life should be applied to all of the qualities. In other words, the life of intelligence, the life of substance, the life of spiritual seeing, spiritual hearing, and so forth. The life of principle. Principle operates independent of all the other qualities. It's self-operating. Everything is self-operating. Intelligence is self-operating. But again, intelligence applies to all of the other qualities. Life is a very fun thing to think about and to work with, for it gives life. It gives vitality to everything. Truth means consciousness. What are we conscious of? Are we conscious of reality? Or are we letting the false sense of unreality dominate our thought? Motive is a part of truth. If we think about motive in a court of law, they always look for the motive before they come to a, well, they should, if the court system were honest. They should think about what is the motive, and there has to be a motive. If there is no motive, then the individual could not be considered guilty. They look for what are the tools that were used. If the person was shot, the victim was shot, they said, where's the gun? Well, if we're going to heal, where are the spiritual qualities? Are we looking for the tools? Are we utilizing the tools to put together our path of progress? Truth is something that should be reminding us to stay on the track. No deviation from what is true. There cannot be any error in truth. And there's no truth in error. There's no real intelligence in artificial intelligence. We must stick to the real intelligence, the intelligence that is infinite. If we have nurtured all of these various qualities that were suggested, and of course the myriad other ones that were not, because the entire vocabulary can be associated to the seven synonymous terms in one way or another. So if we have nurtured these qualities in our own thought, speech, and action, then we have come to a conclusion which is termed love. Love is the result of nurturing, just like a mother. Father was represented by the word life. Mother is represented by the word love. Motherhood is nurturing. Are we nurturing all the qualities of God in our own experience, in our own consciousness, in our own thought about others? Are we nurturing that pureness? Are we nurturing the flawless nature of spirit? In other words, are we thinking in a spiritual light about everything and everyone? Mary Baker Eddy, in her article on vision, or really it was a letter to a student, states, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? How about us? What are we doing? We have challenges that come to us constantly. Mary Baker Eddy says that we are constantly barraged with mortal mind suggestions of imperfection. So we all have things that come our way that we have to deal with. Can we focus? In other words, are we thinking about what God is, what man is, what reality is? Or are we being passive and absorbing the error, the lie, and let whatever comes our way run right over us? In other words, ruin our pureness of thought that we should be having, which will heal, which will solve, dissolve the problem. Love is the fulfillment, because if we have nurtured all of these other qualities, we will be at the point of love. Principle represents system and structure. That's why it is the core of everything, because there is a system and structure in everything that exists. Love is the plan and design. Very few Christian scientists have read the statement that is really one of the most important statements that Mary Baker Eddy has ever stated in the textbook, on page 146, beginning at line 31, and that is about system. She states that divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for the present application to the cure of disease. Wow. Do you realize what that means? It means that Mary Baker Eddy, within Science and Health, has given us a system to know how to heal. This is exactly what the Mary Baker Eddy Institute focuses on for its readers. The treatments teach you the system. This treatment about all humanity is teaching you the system. We are discussing each of the seven synonymous terms and how they interconnect and network together, how we're all brethren in one grand network, just like the bonding of the roots of the redwood sequoia trees. bond all together in a unified nature. This is all part of understanding what the system is all about. She gives us four operators, just like add, subtract, multiply, and divide are operators in math. Music has its many manifold operators, matter of fact, more than mathematics. To bring about the harmony in music, one has to abide by the rules, the laws, and the operators, the elements that are all provided to us if we study music. Mathematics, we must abide by what it requires to come up with the right solution. Certainly, divine metaphysics is the most important of everything because it covers everything else in existence. Our entire life, our entire existence, no matter whether we're involved in music or mathematics or chemistry or whatever, it doesn't matter. Homemaking, ditch digging, doesn't matter what our profession or avocation is or our hobbies or what we spend our time on. If we are doing it from the standpoint of divine metaphysics, it will be successful and joyful. The four operators are very specific in divine metaphysics, and they are termed the four sides of the city and are described in Revelation, which was dictated to John on the island of Patmos by Jesus, who appeared in the flesh to John. And this is brought out by the wonderful Bible scholar, Dr. Robert C. Putnam. He was a chemist. That's where his doctorate came from. And he gave us 10 Bible lessons, which are the summation of some 30 years of teaching Sunday school on an extremely productive level for the lucky students that he was teaching. And he gave us in those 10 Bible lessons a summary of the entire Bible. I had searched for probably 20 years or more to get a good Bible course. And wow, I was frustrated time after time because I would buy a course and I would study it and it just didn't flow for me. And boy, when I discovered Robert Putnam's works, I was just elated. It's only 10 lessons, and it's only, I think, 169 pages or something like that. But wow, it includes an innumerable amount of references, all from the Bible, just Bible quotes, Bible paragraphs and Bible chapters and entire books of the Bible as references. And if you study that, you can go as deep as you want. And you can become as good of a Bible scholar as you want because the tool is right there in that one book. And everything he does is absolutely tied to Mary Baker Eddy's writings. Everything. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy says the inspired works of the Bible. She refers to the inspired works of the Bible. Well, we have to have the inspired translation of what's going on in the Bible. The inspired translation. She knew that had to be in there in her reference to the Bible because the Bible includes a lot of garbage. Yes, there's a lot of mistakes in the Bible. There's a lot of human thinking in the Bible. There's a lot of mortality in the Bible. And even some of the greatest characters of the Bible were some of the rottenest. Look at King David. He was in his palace. You know, yes, he slew Goliath, and that was a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. But then after he was eventually installed as the king, what did this great man do? He was peering out from his palace on the people, and a beautiful woman gained his attention. She wasn't doing anything other than just being beautiful. But he noticed her, and he immediately wanted to have her. So he sent his servants, or some of them, to check her out. And they came back and they said, well, she's a married woman. And what did King David do? He assigned, or he had the husband assigned to the front lines in the next battle. Kings were always fighting each other. And he assigned him to the front battle, knowing that there was a high likelihood that he would be killed. And then, of course, he wouldn't have any fight having the woman be one of his wives. So that's what he did. And that's what happened. How many people even realize this? It's in the Bible. Some of the characters that have really done great things have fallen. It doesn't mean he hasn't done great things. He was very humble and very spiritual, and his background gave him the ability, the capacity, the functionality, the capability to take down Goliath without even a fight. God chooses the best person qualified for the task. Solomon was David's son. Solomon became apparently the wealthiest man, even including today. And we've got one man that is considered a trillionaire. And how did Solomon become so wealthy? Because he sought God and his righteousness, not wealth. He wanted to have the kingdom of heaven all around him. And so he asked God for the ability to judge fairly all of his people. And because that is the only thing he asked for, all of these other things came to him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, love is fulfillment. Solomon nurtured the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And everything imaginable to make his life comfortable came to him. When the Queen of Sheba visited him, she said, I have not been told the half. And she was referring to the fact that all of the servants of Solomon were very joyful. It was an entire atmosphere of love and joy, not one of Sodom and Gomorrah, which happens to so many people when they have wealth. That's a thought we can use when we're praying for humanity, because the morals seem to be so low. I think we have to reach up very far, very high, even to get to zero, because we seem to be so far below Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was so bad that it was destroyed because there wasn't an element of good in the whole city. How about nuclear war? The list is long and detailed that needs to be included in the healing process. And we need to begin with the fact that God is infinite individuality and covers everything that appears to be challenging the truth. We can negate in our own thought, which is what we need to work on, with the purpose of benefiting all humanity, and that is praying for all humanity. Something that Mary Baker Eddy did 3 times a day, as was explained in the first treatment of September 10th on that very subject of praying for all humanity. If Mary Baker Eddy was able to accomplish all she did and put aside time to pray for all humanity 3 times a day, can we have a valid excuse for not doing it? Look in the mirror and answer it to yourself. Mary Baker Eddy has stated that everyone, she included herself, everyone can do more. Richard Strain was not making the progress he wanted to make, and he asked an experienced Christian Scientist how could he progress faster. And she said, "Are you studying 5 hours a day? He said, "I don't have 5 hours a day to study." Well, finally, after some cogitating on the topic, he decided he would do it. And by the end of the first week, his whole life started to turn around. Everyone has 20% of their time, which is only 5 hours or 4.8 hours a day. How about 10%? Are we tithing 10%? Are we giving 10% of our time to God? Are we giving 10% of our income to helping all humanity? I don't mean giving it to a church. Most churches are very corrupt. In fact, I've never seen a church or experienced a church that didn't have some corruption. And not that I'm telling you I'm walking on water, but unfortunately, the entire religious sector has become a Sodom and Gomorrah in one way or another. No, you can give your 10%. And I don't mean of net after taxes. I'm talking about gross. Gross funds that you receive, the total of all funds that you receive from any and every source, whether it's selling something, whether it's, you know, working on in a job, a profession, doesn't matter what it is. Are you giving 10% to the betterment of humanity? We should. And we should do it anonymously as much as possible. Not try to get our name on a building in a university because we paid to build a new building. Andrew Carnegie was apparently one of the wealthiest men of his day back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he decided that he would spend his fortune on helping humanity. But his ego got a little bit in the way because his name is on so many things that he did. Libraries and university buildings and so forth. But at least he was making a major effort. And he did. He did contribute a tremendous amount of funding to education. There's so many ways to give. There's so many homeless people. I don't mean just giving a handout to someone, but do something of lasting value. The creative ability of mind can be reflected by any individual, and that's what we should be doing, so that we can utilize the ability to help all humanity. there is nothing but God, which is all good. Amen.